People Show presented by Grip Auto and Tire, quality service you can trust in 14 locations to serve you. The music is fitting. Wrong answers only. Randeep is going to Ottawa. Why is Randeep going to Ottawa? Wrong answers only. Answer it on the Dunbar Lumber text line.
I'm actually asking myself the same question.
Well, Randeep is going to Ottawa to party.
Hey, if that music's been played like Faber just played, I might you might see me in Byward Market.
Wait, there's actually places to party in Ottawa?
There's like two.
This is news to me.
When I lived there, I think I went to one club. I was very underwhelmed.
He's going to skate on the Rideau Canal.
In summer.
Yeah, in the summer. That's wrong answers only.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. You've seen me skate. It's probably a lot like swimming.
Randeep is going to Ottawa because he heard J-Lo was going to be there.
If you were listening to the show last week,
yeah,
I renounced my love for her.
You did?
I stopped courting Jennifer Lopez.
Really?
She doesn't know this.
After all these years?
I saw those most recent pictures with Ben Affleck on a yacht, and I said, this is it. Can't do it anymore. Can't chase. Can't do it. So, no. I've given up J-Lo.
Bennifer isn't coming back to Vancouver where their love truly blossomed?
I don't know. I don't care, Reach.
Okay.
I'm going to Ottawa. And Alistair saying, Alistair in Clearwater, Randeep is going to Ottawa to try out for the Sens. Hey, they got DJ, DJ Michael Delzato out there now.
Yeah.
So.
Bottom six guy. Good in the room.
I can be a left shot D. Like
think
the 7-8?
So?
No.
No. Joe Hall 21 in White Rock. Randeep is going to Ottawa for the Vasaki Parade.
Maybe in April, but it's August almost right now. So, Joel, I like how you're thinking.
Yeah.
Wrong time of the year. Wrong answers only, though. So, yeah, keep them coming.
To drive down the Rideau Canal pathways. That's from Neil the Boss. So, a lot of wrong answers only for Randeep and his trip to Ottawa and just exactly what's going to happen. Adam, the former bath guy, he's going to Ottawa to have the Nutella poutine.
I love poutine, but Nutella poutine?
Never had Nutella
poutine. That sounds disgusting. Mainly because of the Nutella.
I mean, if you go for the beaver tails, like a Nutella beaver tail would be great.
I've had the beaver tail there.
Yeah.
It's just like a flattened donut. Is it not?
It is, but isn't that like, that's why Ottawa is so bland, you know? It's like, you got to go to Ottawa, you got to have a beaver tail. It's like, why?
I'm pretty sure I saw a truck in Vancouver have it as well, so. No,
see, they've expanded countrywide, okay. But it used to be an Ottawa thing, I think. I don't know. Let's bring in our next guest. Joins us regularly here on The People's Show and on Sports at 650, former Vancouver Canuck, Yannick Hansen. Yannick, my partner in crime here, Randeep, is going to Ottawa. Was Ottawa high on the list of best road trip cities?
No, it was one of those you just had to get over with. It was usually at the tail end, too, so it was like, okay, we've been gone now for 12 days, 2 weeks here. Let's just let's get 2 points and let's get out of here. We'd always stay out in the middle of nowhere. There's nothing to do. So, yeah, no, it was definitely not a highlight.
Okay, Yannick, to save myself on this, I'm starting in Ottawa and ending in Montreal. That's better, right?
That is much better. No doubt about that.
Yannick Hansen joining us here on the People's Show. The Canucks' big summer. A lot of the details are done. A lot of the heavy lifting has been done. A lot of turnover on the roster. Do you think they're a better team, Yannick?
There's no question about that. They're better. They're better than they were a week ago. How much better? We'll see. I think we've been talking about this for the last couple of months now, that there were so many holes, retooling your entire bottom six, filling out some defensive spots as well. They have filled out a lot of the holes. There are still needs and wants, but I also don't think you can get it all done in one fell swoop. They have more pieces in place now where you can see a team starting to take shape. You have your number 1, 2, 3 centers now, hopefully for the next many years down the line now. You have a defenseman who theoretically can step in behind Quinn Hughes and be your second, third defenseman. I still think you need one more in that range where the gap from Quinn and OEL to the next best defenseman is still too big. I'd like to see one more in there. I know you can't do that this year. There's no money for it, and picking those guys out of the blue is almost next to impossible. But again, you're starting to see a team that taking shape that should take a step in the right direction this year, hopefully contend for a playoff, get in there, and then you can add a piece here and there down the line, and hopefully 2, 3, 4 years down the line, you have a team where you're saying, start of the season, okay, this Canuck team, they're a contender.
Well, you mentioned Hughes, and you mentioned Oliver Ekman-Larsson. Jack Rathbone is probably going to get a very good shot at making the team, so the left-hand side is going to be very offensive-minded. On the right-hand side, that's where there's some worries, where do you have a high-end defenseman that can play in that, you know, that top four consistently enough? Tyler Myers, good player, but he's had his moments, and Hamonic and Tucker Pullman now. Do you see somebody that can play, you know, that role next to a Oliver Ekman-Larsson consistently enough?
That's where the question comes in now. Do they have that? And I think now you need guys to play a little bit above what they're probably expected to be able to. But that's the name of the game in the salary cap world. So one of those guys you're mentioning, they're going to have to step up and up their games. You're going to see quality opponents. You're going to see more ice time than you're probably used to. So they need some of these right-handed defensemen that they now went out and found and fill some big minutes and some big shoes. Like I say, you can't expect everything to get done on July 28th here. So we are still looking for somebody to step up and do a little bit more than we expected, instead of the pieces just falling where they are. And you can say, okay, these guys, they just... they fill out their role, and this is what they're brought into, and that's enough. No, we need them to do a little bit extra based on the type of players they are.
Yannick Hansen, our guest. You know, the sense I get is that Oliver Ekman-Larsson is going to be used in all situations, and he's going to have the usage of, you know, a top-pairing type of defenseman. It's kind of a big bet that they're making that he can succeed in that sort of a role. You know, how much do you think Oliver can have success in that type of usage?
At $7.5 million, he has to. Otherwise, he's taking up too much cap space. So they have to find a way to turn back the age clock off on him, if you will. He doesn't have to be a Norris Trophy defenseman that he was 5 years ago, but he has to be the clear number two defenseman in Vancouver, hopefully challenging Quinn. So you have that 1-2 punch, and you can almost leave them on the ice for 50 minutes at the game. And they're controlling the play with their finesse and skill, skating, getting out of trouble, and hopefully doesn't have to spend too much time defending. So again, he has to find a way to up his game here. I mean, he's not brought in here as a cap casualty, and we're just offloading a contract from big Arizona's part. No, he's brought in here to push this team in the right direction. So you're going to need him to eat a lot of minutes. You're going to need him to produce. You're going to need him to play key moments. Again, they brought in a lot of guys that hopefully can fill some of that penalty kill. But again, he will need to take his lifting there as well. But again, you need to see a clear guy as his role is coming in here, and he has to be the player he was.
You're listening to The People's Show. We're joined by Yannick Hansen, as we are every Friday, and we've talked about OEL. We've talked about Tucker Pullman. You can add Connor Garland, Jason Dickinson to that conversation as well. Which addition is the most intriguing to you from a Canucks perspective?
I think Oliver is known. He's a known commodity. We kind of know what to expect. This Garland, he can come in and be the hidden gem. If he comes in and fill the role, producing like he did the last couple of years in Phoenix, he will have been a home run for Jim. I mean, we've been talking about the top six, which really only been a top four, top five the last year and a bit here. If he can come in and solidify that, and now you have a defined top six in Vancouver that you can roll, you don't have to guess any given night, oh, who's going to be in this spot? Is this going to be so-and-so? No, these are the guys, and they're producing. And if he can find that and fill that, then not only is a tremendous player to get in, but at the cap hit, again, he'll have to contribute. But paying just under five for a guy who can hopefully chip in 20 goals, put up in the 50-point range, that's found money, if you will.
You know, the forward group gives me a lot more confidence than maybe some of the bets they've made on defense so far. And it just feels like, and we talked about this a lot during the season, Yannick, it just feels like a lot of the players, they slot better into the roles they are likely to be given. You know, Brandon Sutter is a fourth line center now. You can see him having a lot of success in that role. And the cap hit is obviously come down as well. It just feels like this forward group has got a lot of versatility and players are going to be able to fill their roles better.
Yeah, exactly. And the way I look at it right now is you have Tanner Pearson, you have Höglander, and you have this Podolski, which we don't really know where it's going to slot in, how good he is, what can he do. You have these three players who are fighting for a top six spot, and the two players that loses out will get pushed back into roles they're probably a little bit better than on the third line there. And that's what you want. It's internal competition, guys fighting for a little bit more, keeping guys on their games. So like, if I don't produce, well, I'll lose my spot next to Bo or Petey, depending who it is. And again, you're looking at a matchup scenario. You're now looking at, okay, we can roll 1, 2, 3, 4, where the last year or so, when we looked at the Canucks, when top six was on the ice, you might see some offense. Bottom six was on the ice. The other team got a break. Momentum shifted. Puck most of the times got shifted into the Canucks end. And then they had to come back, start all over. Where now you're starting to see a blueprint of a team that can roll four lines and can, again, make the shifts in the right end of the ice. It's much nicer to change and get on in an offensive zone. You're seeing tired guys that are trying to get off instead of being on the receiving end of that. And that'll also lead to more offense, better opportunities, better matchup challenges, all these things. So, yeah, the forward group looks much improved. And again, like you spoke to about Sutter in a fourth-line role, he's perfectly matched there. Right-handed center can do all the defensive responsibility as well. You don't really have to worry about having Dickinson or Sutter out there defensively. They're both good defensively, bigger body, can take draws. Hopefully Sutter can teach him a little bit and get him dialed in. Sutter's been very good in the circle for a long time, and again, it's one of those things where you can now starting to teach the young guys about a little bit.
Well, there's a lot of additions, but there were some subtractions as well, a very important one at that. A couple of weeks ago, we talked to you about Mark Stowe's comments about Alex Edler testing free agency. We now know it wasn't a bluff. He's in L.A. You played with him. What did he mean to the team when you were on it, and what kind of fit do you see in L.A.?
Steady Eddie. You always knew what you got for him. Very good in his own end. Good first pass. He was very physical in his younger days and had that sneaky cold shoulder that caught a lot of guys off guard. Could produce some offense. Obviously, it has got a little bit older. That's been taken away from him. Again, he's not getting the power play either. But again, a very, very sound defender that you love to have on your team in the middle to bottom pairing to kind of round out your team. And again, ton of experience.
Yannick Hansen, our guest. You know, one of the big stories of this offseason, Yannick, is teams looking at size and physicality again and wanting to get tougher. I guess the New York Rangers are the poster child of that with everything they've done, even getting Ryan Reeves now to try and, I guess, respond to Tom Wilson and the Washington Capitals. It feels like a bit of an overcorrection for me of wanting and paying maybe too much for that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's kind of what happens, and I think you're Montreal's at fault for that, probably, sawing what the four big defensemen did there for them. It's what happened. It's a copycat league. That stuff happens. When certain teams win, then teams tend to emulate that a little bit more. It's a lot harder to go out and emulate what Tampa looks like because there aren't that many of those type of players around. So then you look at the next best thing, and the next best thing last year was Montreal. Whether they can repeat that again next year, I'll leave that up to you guys. But again, it's kind of what happens. And again, whether it's right or wrong, time will tell. But I always believe you do need to have some sort of pushback. Guys need to play, no question about that. They need to be able to skate. They need to be able to handle the puck. But you do need some pushback so your skill are allowed to shine through and be skilled. So some sort of response is needed. Whether or not teams, Vancouver, went overboard, time will tell.
Yannick, most of the business in the NHL is done. Draft is over. Free agency, for the most part, is done. It seems like all the blockbuster trades outside of Jack Eichel are done as well. So when the players went off, and when you in your playing days, what was your off-season ritual? Like, how did you unwind immediately after the season?
Well, that is when you do it. You take a couple of weeks off, depending if you went to World Championship. Watch a little bit of the playoff, and then you slowly start finding your way back into the gym. And kind of like, I'd say my off season, if you will, where I don't do anything, we're talking 3 weeks at the max. Summers are harder than the winters, because you're trying to build all the strength, all the endurance, all the conditioning in the gym, running, all those things. You're trying to get that back up to the level where it needs to be. And then when training camps hit and season begins, you're just trying to maintain it and not lose it, which is impossible. You do as the season go on. But again, you're trying to get up to the point where you're at your peak athletic abilities, if you will. You're at your strongest, fastest, quickest in training camp. And that comes from, 3 or 4 months of very, very hard work, to be honest.
Before we let you go, Yannick, it's Olympic season. We're all kind of like last night, I'm watching trampoline. All of a sudden, I'm a trampoline expert, even though I haven't watched it in 4 years. But, you know how it goes. If you had a tremendous career as a professional hockey player, but what would your Olympic sport be?
Oh, that's a tough one. I will say this. I was wildly impressed with the triathlons. How they're going from swimming, running, or biking, and then into the running. Like, it's amazing what they do and what they push through. I was never a very avid runner or anything like that. I was not very good at it, so I tip my hat to that stuff. I like watching the stuff where the guys, they really, or girls, that they push themselves to a point where it's like you know how that kind of is and feel, but I've never touched those areas myself. Like, I jump off the treadmill before I get to that point. I was impressed by that.
Okay, looking back at your time in the NHL, is there one teammate that was such a fitness freak that you could maybe even see them in the Olympics outside of like hockey? Is there somebody that could make it?
We had a lot of fitness freak. David Booth spent more time in the gym than he did on the ice most of the time, so he was. He was in tremendous shape, and he would probably be one of those guys who could find something somewhere.
Well, Hank and Nanny could do the triathlete stuff, right?
Yeah, they might be able to. They might be able to sneak something in there, or the ping pong.
Really? Okay. All right.
Yeah, they're good. No, they're good at ping pong. They weren't that good, but don't tell them I said that.
All right, we won't. Thanks for this, Yannick, as always. Talk soon.
Yeah, take care.
There is Yannick Hansen giving us a little insight, eh? That Hank and Danny were big-time table tennis players. Can't say ping pong. We'll upset the table tennis crowd.
I feel like we know more about Yannick Hansen.
Yeah.
And his teammates now, his former teammates. Look at that.
Yeah.
Just learning more about Yannick Hansen.
David Booth was not an answer I was expecting.
No, that, I was expecting, like, anybody else, really.
Yeah.
David Booth was not the one that I was thinking either.
Well, Henrik and Daniel Sedin, like, you know.
Or
the
juice,
myth,
like
the
juice
myth of them, like, you know, riding their bikes to the rink and doing all the crazy stuff, you know, all this wildness.
Well, like, there's competitions between the Sedins and Bieksa as well.
Yes.
Obviously, right? That was something that was, but David Booth, he didn't have that much of a successful period in Vancouver, but I guess he was a fitness freak, though.
Table tennis. We got to get Henrik and Daniel Sedin around a table tennis. Maybe we could do doubles. You think we could beat them? Reach deep versus the twins?
Beat them, no.
Okay.
Get embarrassed and probably leave said venue in total embarrassment and maybe even have to leave town? Absolutely.
I'm pretty good at table tennis.
Yeah, but I'm not, is what I'm trying to say. Like, badminton, maybe. Table tennis is not my jam. It's not my jam.
How are you good at badminton and not table tennis?
I just grew up playing it in, like, the backyard.
Are all racket sports are pretty much the same? Like,
They're
if you're
not.
Decent at one, you could be decent at another.
No, table tennis and, like, tennis, it's different, man. Like, different size racket. You can run around more.
Yeah,
like,
but
it's,
if
no.
you like, if you learn the physics on a table tennis, like, you know, in a table tennis setting, then you can, you'll have a sense of what to do on a tennis.
No,
court.
Your reflexes have to be that much quicker in table tennis.
Yeah,
I don't think I can do it. I don't. We're talking Sedins here. I think you're heavily like overestimating your skill.
Well,
they're
yeah.
the two of the greatest athletes in this city, if not
yes.
the best.
Mm-hmm.
You think you'd be able to compete against them in like hand-eye coordination?
Yeah. Okay. Well, not with you, because clearly you're a terrible partner. Faber, do you play table tennis at all? No.
I mean, I do, but I play with two hands when I'm playing.
Okay, you're not good.
No,
not good.
Oh no. There's a reason why it's illegal, because it's just so strong when you hit it with two hands.
You're not chopping wood, man.
How do you play with two hands?
People think it's the craziest thing, and then you deliver the two hander on the ping pong table, and people go nuts.
How do you even have enough mobility to do that and timing?
So you either lose with me as your partner, or you get yeah. disqualified with Faber. Take your pick.
What if the Sedins were tied together like a three-legged race, but with the other hand? Like in a ping pong, do you guys think you could take them then?
No.
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 I know what I'm good at, and ping pong or table tennis, whatever we call it, is not it.
Man, people are just coming in and crushing you with more of what are you doing in Ottawa?
Mike in Tawasin saying, going to visit my illegitimate children.
Well, he did live there.
I did.
It is, it was hilarious hearing Yannick just respond to Ottawa. Like, no, Ottawa sucked. Like in Yannick's own way, like he's so blunt about it. He's just like, no, you can't like Ottawa, terrible. You're standing in the middle of nowhere, which is Kanata near the rink.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And then it's just terrible. No, Ottawa's awful.
Even
so,
the players that live in Ottawa,
yeah.
like that played there and former players, like they live outside the city,
mm-hmm.
like in Stittsville, I believe it's called.
Stittsville?
Yes. It's near Kanata. I'm not making this up. I know it sounds like a fictional name.
Sounds like a bad Canadian sitcom. Stittsville.
It was Schitt's Creek before it.
Yes.
They came up with Schitt's Creek, yeah. Stittsville. Look it up. It's an actual town. I swear. Hockey players live there. I don't know if they still do. But I'm not making that up.
Randeep is going to Ottawa to stop listening to this racket sports nonsense. That's from Vincent.
I might.
Listen, Vincenzo, okay?
It's Vincent.
It's Olympic season. We're going to talk about some random sports, all right? Like last night, I was all in on Rosie McLennan and the trampolining. There's no way the girl from Great Britain had a better score than Rosie McLennan. Like, I don't know. You don't have to be an expert to judge those routines. And there's no way. Rosie was much cleaner in her twists and curls and everything. She got much more air on her jumps.
Hashtag analysis.
You know, Rosie, like, I can't believe she got kicked off the podium. I was pissed.
Okay, I watch a lot of random sports during the Olympics as well.
Yeah.
Trampoline is not in my top 10.
Why not?
It's not.
Rosie McLennan's a Canadian legend. Stop it.
You found that out yesterday.
No.
Or 4 years ago when you last watched the Olympics. I mean,
she's a two-time Olympic champion, so.
Okay.
You know,
and
Canadian
shouts
legend.
To her. I'm not a trampoline guy, but like rowing, all in on rowing.
Yeah.
Anything in race form.
Gold last night.
Anything
great.
In race form.
Yeah.
Like, you know, indoor cycling, speed skating in the Winter Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. The artistry stuff where they're getting scores, I don't want any of that. I don't want any of that.
Really?
Like, no.
Winter Olympics is peak. Oh, my God. I'm an ice dancing expert.
Oh, no.
How did the judge from Japan say that wasn't a perfect 10? You know? Exactly. Conspiracies.
Sinister, if you think about it. Yeah, I'm not that guy. If I had my way and I have, you know people that work in figure skating, I'm sorry, but I'd get rid of it. I don't want judging. I don't want judging in my sports. I'm sorry. I'm that guy.
Justin on Texada Island. Wait, what was that, Yannick? Podolsky? Okay, so Yannick does this all the time when he's saying Podkolzin.
No, hold on. Faber, is there a Canucks prospect named Podolsky? Just wanted to check with you.
Does he, like, he would know better than us, right, about, like, pronouncing European names? So are we doing it wrong?
I think he's just thinking of German soccer legend Lukas Podolsky.
You know when you say it so confidently that we are doubting ourselves? Like, Vasily Podkolzin?
Okay, here's the thing. Like, I don't have the heart to tell Yannick that he's wrong on it. Also, I kind of like secretly love every time he says Podolski. It makes me happy. It's
former just... Arsenal player. Come on. Lukas Podolski. I love it.
Great German World Cup legend. Whenever he played for his club team, he just completely disappeared.
I'll tell you this, though. If Vasily Podkolzin has a shot like Lukas Podolski had a left foot, the Canucks are going to be in a very good spot. Very good spot.
It is the People's Show. Get great Vancouver golf for less. Go to discountgolfcard.ca for all the details and to order your Vancouver discount golf card today. You'll have a chance to win a discount golf card for you and three golf buddies with Password. No, I'm lying. No Password today. Sorry, Mike G. and the rest of the Password crew. But not saying, just saying, a Vancouver discount golf card for you and three golf buddies with the best submission. We'll do that next on the People's Show, Sports at 650. People's Show presented by Grip Auto and Tire. Quality service you can trust and 14 locations to serve you. It is Dan Riccio and Randeep Janda today. Sat Shaw with the week off or day off and taking the extra long weekend as we'll all have Monday off. And Randeep is headed out to the East Coast. You're headed out east. Not the real East Coast.
Not like, the Maritimes.
Not the Maritimes. Just out east to visit the nation's capital.
That's right.
Which is not Toronto.
No.
Quebec City.
Never been there before. Looking forward to that.
And Montreal.
Thoroughly enjoyed that city a few times.
Montreal is incredible. Highly suggested for everybody.
If you remember it. Good for you.
Yes.
If you come back and remember your experience in Montreal,
I mean,
better.
Montreal, it's versatile. You know, it's good as a couple's trip. It's good as a friend's trip. It's got a little bit of everything for everybody.
That town has an unbelievable jazz fest, yep. Just for Laughs Comedy Fest, and they got an F1 race.
Yes.
They got, like, it is versatile.
Hey, we're going to have an EF1 race soon.
I'm ready to get tickets. I'm ready. Big F1 guy now.
All right. So wrong answers only. What is Randeep going to do in Ottawa?
This is taking off, Reed.
Randeep is going to compete in the Melnick Marathon. That's when you jog from where the Sens fans and society live to where the Senators actually play their games.
Okay.
That's a long run, man. Like, it's quite a long way. Isn't it like a 40-minute drive or so?
When I lived there, I didn't have a car out there, so I was on the bus, basically.
You took, like, the Greyhound to the game.
I took, like, the extended buses that they had. It took, like, 55 minutes an hour to get there. It's not fun.
It's brutal. How come we can't get fans to any games? Why aren't we selling out these playoff games? Unbelievable.
The drives were so long that the buses had layovers.
Yeah.
That's how long it took you to get to games. That, like, legitimately, it's not fun.
When they were playing Pittsburgh in the Eastern Conference Final a few years ago, I was like, I was living in Toronto at the time, and there was still, like, available tickets.
Oh, yeah.
For huge games. And you had Erik Karlsson playing at, like, Super Saiyan level. And
Hoffman, like, Mark Stone. Like, they had a legit team. They're that close.
There was empty seats. And I was just like, I might just, like, get in the car and go. Because why not? If I could get a cheap playoff ticket just because nobody in Ottawa actually wants to go, why not?
But there's a good part of that, though. If you are a fan of another team, so easy to get tickets.
Oh, yeah.
Because nobody else wants. I went to a Penguins game, actually. This was right after they won the 2009 Cup, mm-hmm. when Gino went off for 36 points in that playoffs, and they end up winning the Stanley Cup. You expect when the Stanley Cup, you know, champion comes to town with Sidney Crosby, that the game's sold out. There are tickets everywhere. Like, available everywhere. Ottawa's not great for that, Reece.
Nope. It's definitely not. Another text. Jose in Vancouver. Randeep, I've heard that if you enter the city limits of Ottawa, you are going to have alimony and child support served to you by local law enforcement.
Don't call it a comeback!
Jose, that's a pretty good one.
Yes.
This is wrong answers only, by the way. I'm not agreeing with Jose, all right? If any family is listening, no.
Yeah.
That's not the case. I should be adamant.
This is continuing off of earlier texts in the show. So, you know, last night, as we mentioned off the top of the show, I was all in with Rosie McLennan at around 11. watched as she fell off the podium, even though her routine was the best. Like, sorry to the eventual gold, silver, and bronze winners, but Rosie, like, she had the best routine, bar none.
This has really affected you, didn't it?
I mean, Canadian legend, trampoline legend, Rosie McLennan. I can't believe they did her like that. But I was, you know, planning on continuing a wonderful night of watching Canadian soccer into the early hours of the morning, watch the Canadian women against Brazil, starting, kickoff was at 1 a.m. I couldn't do it. Couldn't keep the eyes open. Mm-hmm. Just impossible. Fell asleep on the couch. Good thing I had the PVR. Woke up at 6:30 and watched it this morning. And my God, what a nail biter. Like, the one thing that's actually good about the overnight games, you're not getting spoiler alerts, you know? You just go straight to the television, throw on the PVR, and you can watch without any interruptions, not knowing what exactly happened at all. There's no chance of a spoiler alert, which is great. Nail biter. Stephanie Labbé, incredible in goal, makes a couple of penalty saves. It was 0-0, but there was chances at both ends. And I think what I like the most about the whole thing, you know, Christine Sinclair, we know she's in the twilight of her career right now. She isn't the player she was in 2012 that started this incredible generation of Canadian women's soccer. But she missed the first penalty. And they end up coming back to beat the Brazilians in the penalty shootout, which is an incredibly rare thing to do when you miss the first shot. And I loved some of the shots, like Janine Becky saying to Christine, "We got you," in a close-up. It was very powerful. You could see just the connection with this team. And it was an incredible moment because for so many years, Christine has carried this squad, and they picked her up this time. And I just absolutely falling in love again with this women's team, and I can't wait. I'm not gonna fall asleep for Sunday's game. I'm definitely Red Bulls, Spros, whatever it has to do at 1 a.m. Sunday or Monday morning, I guess, Sunday night, Monday morning, to watch that rematch, the revenge game of Canada versus the U.S. 9 years on.
It is going to be must-watch TV. It's going to be something that back then, I think there was still a gulf in class, right? The U.S. was the powerhouse, which they still are now. But the Canadian team, if you look at both of these teams, it's there for Canada to win. Like, it's going to be a very competitive match. And comparing those teams, you mentioned Christine Sinclair, who has been the face of Canadian soccer. And now we're focusing on the men's side because there's finally something good happening. But let's take a moment to appreciate how good this team has been. Because at first, there was a development. Okay, Christine Sinclair, one of the best players in the world. And now you have those other players stepping up, whether it's Ashley Lawrence, you know, whether it's Jessie Fleming, whether it's Janine Becky. There's support around Christine Sinclair. So she might not be the same player she used to be.
Yeah.
But you've got now that next generation. We talk a lot about it on the men's side because there was nothing there a few years ago. But I want to take a step back and be like, let's appreciate this women's team because they've been doing it.
Yeah.
For 15 years. And I hope Christine Sinclair gets her flowers. She's going to get them on an individual level, but we know her legacy is going to be also built on what this team does in the Olympics as well, to a certain extent, right?
Yep.
You know Christine Sinclair will be looking in that mirror and saying, I need this. I want this. She's already the greatest goal scorer in the history of the game internationally.
Yeah.
And that's not hyperbole. That's facts. I just hope the team, now that they've built such a strong team, that they help her get her flowers on the international stage because she's respected. But she hasn't had the spotlight, the team spotlight. I hope that happens this year.
You know, it's incredible what Christine has done for the game in this country, for the women's game in general. And to think about how much this could further her legacy, because I think a lot of her legacy is already built, but if they pull the upset, the underdog upset over the U.S. On Sunday night, Monday morning, that'll just, you know, put her into a stratosphere that very few Canadian athletes are. And she may already be there for a lot of people. She certainly is for me. But to see that happen would just take it to another level. And I can't wait for Sunday, man. Like, I know some wildness is going to happen. Went through that last night with the Canadian men's team going against Mexico, and you're having to beat the referees and CONCACAF and everybody else, along with a team that is much more talented than you are. So I expect all those things and those factors to play again, to be at play again, just like they were in 2012. But I can't wait for it, and I'm super excited for what happens in these Olympic Games. We're going to talk more about the Olympics with Devin Haru coming up after 6 o'clock. But for now, it's time for Not Saying, Just Saying here on The People's Show. Hit me with some music there, Faber. It is Not Saying, Just Saying. Chance for you to win a Vancouver discount golf card for you and three golf buddies. Best submission will get shouted out and get the prize. Get great Vancouver golf for less. Go to discountgolfcard.ca for all the details and to order your Vancouver discount golf card today. Randy?
All right, Dan. I'm not saying I'm going to make history. I'm just saying I'm taking Dudsoud out of Parliament this weekend. It's happening. Get ready for the photo ops.
I thought this was a wrong answers only.
You might even see... I feel inspired by the wrong answer to make it a right answer. I might do it. You might see Dudsoud out of Parliament.
So, Instagram story, Randeep is going to be on Parliament Hill in Ottawa making Dudsoud.
I don't know if I'm going to make it, like, right at... I might drink it there. I think making it might be a little extreme.
Your old high school teacher, Justin Trudeau, is just going to happen to be, you know,
strolling through
on Parliament Hill. Oh, right. What does that happen to be?
Just me, Justin Trudeau, and Eugene Melnick hanging out, having some Dudsoud on Parliament Hill. And Pierre Maguire, of course.
Jackie, Randeep is going to Ottawa to do the one chip challenge in front of Parliament Hill, in front of Parliament.
Okay, now that Jackie mentions that, mm-hmm. I feel like my one chip challenge should be a Heritage Minute. No? Okay.
No, that's definitely that's a bit of a reach.
Okay. Yours should be.
I'm not saying Spro has little effect on me. I'm just saying it didn't keep me up last night for the Canada game. Like, I could drink 17 Spros, I'll fall asleep in 5 minutes. Doesn't matter.
Are you at that point now that the consumption is so high that it doesn't even take an effect anymore?
No, it doesn't.
You're like that guy that drinks so many energy drinks that at some point they just stop working.
But if you make a proper Spro, the caffeine jolt isn't supposed to be that great, you know? Like, Italians drink Spro all the time at night in Italy. You know, you just go to the bar, you have a quick hit, and then you're out, you know? Hey, ciao, bella. Hey, and you're gone.
Punjabis do that with tea. They'll have it like 10 p.m.
Yeah.
Just because it's the thing. It's like, all right. So you're immune to caffeine, basically.
Marshall the Bin Guy. I'm not saying that Reach has had too many Spros. I'm just saying that Randeep is going to hate Ottawa. I don't know how the two connect, but sure.
Usually the first statement is supposed to connect to the second statement. But Marshall the Bin Guy... Whatever, it's Friday. Let's go with it. We got this one from Marcus in Gibson's. Not saying Reach is falling asleep before the game tonight. It's actually on Monday. I'm just saying there ain't enough Spro in the world to keep you awake.
Well, it's not happening. Even Vicky and Poco sent me a note that there's some Lavazza on sale at IMAX favorite store, Costco. Don't know if you heard of it. Might have to get a skid, you know. It, like, runs out quick, so I don't know where I'm going to store it, but that's...
Yeah, I was going to say, your apartment, I don't know if you can do it. I have a whole skid there. Yeah.
Not saying, just saying, here on The People's Show. Torgy, coming in on the Dunbar Lumber text line. I'm not saying the Blue Jays are making the playoffs, but I'm saying I had faith in the second half before they acquired Jose Berríos.
It's a strong move. It's a strong move this year. And for next year, because he's, what, going to make $10 million? It was actually a... I don't like to admit this often, guys, but that was a smart move by the Blue Jays.
Yeah. You know, this is a team that is really good now, but they're going to be even better next year and the year after and the year after that, probably. But they also, you know, they have to wonder, you know, if they're going to be able to keep guys like Vladdy and Bobichette long-term, right? Or are those guys going to want to test the market and go outside of Toronto. So you have to maximize these next few years, and this trade does that. You know what? Prospects are nice. Austin Martin's nice. I mentioned this yesterday. You go back to 2015. Name me anybody that the Blue Jays traded in 2015 to get David Price, Troy Tulowitzki, and all that they did to beef up the roster and go on the incredible run that they did through the second half of that season. You can't, because none of them really panned out at all. Matt Boyd and Miguel Castro. That's pretty much it. So spare me with the prospect talk. Yeah, Austin Martin looks like he's going to be pretty good. Simeon Woods Richardson, yeah, might turn out. But Jose Berríos makes you a better team this year and next. So I'll take that every day of the week.
All right, this is from Ryan and Shimanis. I'm not saying Podkolzin. I'm just saying Podolski. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. That's a shout-out to Yannick Hansen if you missed the interview a little bit earlier. Oh, you got...
Is anybody ever going to tell Yannick that it's Podkolzin? I mean, somebody might have to tell him eventually. I just don't... I don't want it to be me.
It's not going to be me either.
Yeah.
It might be the Sedins, since they're buddies. They might just be blunt with Yannick and say, his name's Podkolzin. But it won't be me. We got this from this one from Jordan and Langley. Not saying, just saying, your Spro is weak, Dan. Saw your washed bean juice on Twitter this week. Gotta press it harder. Jordan and Langley, who happens to own a Spro shirt. So he supports you, but he's not happy with your coffee game.
Washed bean juice. Not gonna lie, Jordan, there's a filter on that video, so that's probably what did it.
Bean juice. You're getting trashed for your coffee, man. All right, we got this one. Replying to the Blue Jays trade.
Yeah,
they gave up Noah Syndergaard for Dickey.
Yeah, that was in 2013, not in 2015.
Facts only, though.
I was talking about the 2015 trades, the deadline moves that they made then. Look, I know that trade, the Dickey trade, did not work out. That was not great. But they also gave up a good Italian, Anthony Desclafani, in that trade too. Huh. Oh, that was in the Jose Reyes trade. Sorry.
Way too much Blue Jays talk right now.
Okay, sorry.
Way too much. All right, Paul in Maple Ridge.
At least it's not BC Lions.
That's
anyways.
True. Not saying I have a problem. Just saying thanks to the Canadian women for making the 1 a.m. pint acceptable.
I mean, 1 a.m. pints.
That's not bad.
Like, it's not bad.
Some establishments are open till 2. You're fine.
Yeah.
Now, if it was a 4 a.m. pint.
Yeah.
That's a little bit more questionable.
Like, in a couple of weeks, when Randeep is watching Arsenal's first match of the season, and he's ripping open a pint at 9 a.m. because their 50 million pound signing, Ben White, actually stinks. You know, that's a little different.
Usually, I don't even consume the beer. I just cry into it. I water it down. Because my team sucks. We'll be back one day.
All right. Gurpreet. I'm not saying it's a bad thing coming to a new country, new city, a new team, and having absolutely no other Russian on the team to talk to. I'm just saying, let's get Podolsky another Russian.
Okay, I had my theories.
Yeah.
You were away that week. I wanted Yakov Trenin. That'd be a good fit.
Why is this such a thing? Like, does Podkolzin really need...
No, he doesn't.
A Russian partner in crime?
It's
like,
a fun
I don't...
game, though. It's a fun game.
What Russian is Vancouver going to acquire?
You
wrong
go
answers
hockey
only.
DB and you see who played with Vasily Podkolzin in St. Petersburg. You can connect some dots, and then it never happens, essentially. Or you give Alex Burmistrov a call and see what he's doing. You want to come back to Vancouver? Probably the answer is no.
All right.
This one I love.
Okay.
Guys, not saying, just saying, it will be Stan Smeal that will tell Yannick Hansen how to pronounce Podkolzin. I think that might be our winner.
Gary, you've just won a Vancouver discount golf card for you and three of your golf buddies. Nice job with that. Not saying, but just saying, it will be Stan Smeal that will tell Yannick Hansen on how to pronounce Podkolzin.
That's gold.
Which it at the draft here a couple years ago, it was that 2019? I don't know. The years all meshed together now.
It was pre-COVID. Let's just put it that way. We have the clip somewhere. I'm sure we'll be able to play it. That was
silly Podkolzin.
Just beautiful.
Nice job, Gary. You are our winner for today.
The Vancouver Canucks draft from St. Petersburg of the KHL, Vasiliev Podstrovev.
Man, that gets me every time.
Every time. Shouts to Gary. You've been our, you're our winner today for the Vancouver Discount Golf Card. All right, coming up, our way too early Pacific Division Power Rankings. It's the People's Show on Sportsnet 650.